It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This episode is brought to you by United Faith Mortgage.
Hi, Nicole. My name is Brian, and I'm calling from San Francisco, California. I want to share a quick story about a good deed I did for my mission to do 30 acts of kindness before turning 30 next year. In May, I donated 400 homemade flans to 33 fire stations in San Jose, California. To make this happen, I first had to get permission from the fire department. So I reached out, and they answered almost immediately. They were happy to accept my donation, but asked, "Are you sure I want to give it to the entire department? We have 33 fire stations and over 400 firefighters." And I said, "Yes, absolutely, without a hesitation." So when I realized I needed to make so many flans, I reached out to a local food delivery startup to see if they could help cover the ingredients. I wasn't expecting an answer, but thanks to their generosity, they were thrilled to help and gave me everything I needed to pull this off. So after a couple days of baking, I packaged up all the flans and delivered them to the fire stations. The firefighters were so appreciative of my sweet gesture. Some of them thought I was doing this for a job opportunity, but I reassured them that I was doing this to show my appreciation for everything they do to keep the community safe. Thanks for the opportunity to share my story, Nicole. I'm documenting my journey on Instagram at 30x30 for those who want to come along. Take care.
Welcome to the Kindness Podcast. I'm Nicole Phillips. Today, we get to hear from Dr. Scott Morris.
In order to live a healthy life, it requires both of us, all of us, to try to move forward down this path in a way that, in my mind, drives us closer to God.
Dr. Morris is a leading voice in the field of faith and health and is the founder and chief executive officer of Church Health in Memphis, Tennessee. The clinic opened in 1987 to provide health care for working, uninsured people and their families. It's grown into the largest faith-based healthcare ministry of its type. Please welcome Dr. Scott Morris. Dr. Scott Morris, thank you for joining us today. It is a pleasure to be able to talk with you. And it's interesting because I say doctor, there's also the title of reverend. You have a lot of different titles going on. And I think that sometimes we have a who and a do about us. You know, the who you are is maybe a little bit different than what you do for a living. But it seems with you and the research that I've done on you that your who and your do are very, very much the same. Do you feel, can you kind of explain what some of your core values are?
Yeah, Nicole, I think that's exactly right. I mean, the who and the do, I'm not sure I can separate it out myself. So, so what I've done my whole life is focus on the link between faith and health. In high school, I was interested in the church, but the thought of preaching 52 sermons a year sent shivers down my spine, still does. I have no idea how anybody could do that, but I read the Bible. And I came to realize that a third of the Bible has to do with healing the sick. It's literally on every page. But I would look around to see what churches did, and there just wasn't much to it. Yet all over the country, we had built large hospitals that have church names on them. They do good work, but they had almost nothing to do with worshiping congregations. You know, it seemed to me that there ought to be more to it than that. So I go to college, I go to seminary. I spend most of my time in seminary looking at what the church has historically done, and came to realize there's a reason these hospitals have church names on them. We just forgot. So I then set out to find a way to connect my own life to, between professionally around issues of faith and health, medicine and ministry. And then I go to medical school. I do a residency. Along the way, I am in the chaplain's office at the Yale Medical School, and I look on his desk, and there's a little pamphlet that says how to start a church-based health clinic. And I go, that's it. That is what I want to do. And then I go on to do that in Memphis, Tennessee, 35 years ago.
And you picked Memphis, Tennessee specifically, right?
I did. I grew up in Atlanta. And at the time when I'm ready to start my own church-based health clinic, I wanted to stay in the South. I did not want to go back to Atlanta. And then, not making this up, I read somewhere that Memphis was the poorest major city in America. And based on that, I said, I'm going to Memphis. You know, at that point, I was 33 years old. I was too young, too dumb to realize that what I wanted to do had no chance to succeed. And so I literally just came to Memphis, totally selling out of an empty cart to start something that is now known as Church Health. We provide health care for the people who work to make our lives comfortable. They cook our food, take care of our children, wash our dishes, cut our grass. One day dig our graves. They don't complain. Yet when they get sick, their options are very few. We care for almost 80,000 people. We're the largest faith-based, privately funded health center in America.
So what makes this health center, Church Health, what makes that similar to how churches were in the beginning?
Yeah. Yeah. So historically, the church cared deeply about the issues of our body and caring for our spirits. I mean, if you look just at the New Testament, there are 17 recorded acts of healing in the Gospel of Luke, but in Acts, written by the same person, there are 19 recorded acts of healing that the disciples do. If you want to follow Jesus, you're actually expected to do three things: to preach, teach, and heal. You do not get to take a pass on the healing part. You don't get to let the people who wear white coats be the ones who are fully engaged in a healing ministry. I don't think any of us want to have to look God in the face at the end of time and have God ask us, did you think I was kidding about that part? So if you want to be a faithful person, and this is true, you know, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, I don't think it matters, then you must be involved in a healing ministry. And that's what the work of Church Health's about. This book I've written is about not just what we do in Memphis, but how people all over this country are engaged in healing ministry in a very hands-on way.
Mm-hmm. So the book is called Care: How People of Faith Can Respond to Our Broken Health System. And okay, so now I'm going to ask the question does this involve our money? Is that what this is about? I mean, is this like a plea of Church Health to say, hey, we really need your finances? Or is it about more?
It is about trying to take the gospel seriously. It is about really transforming our health system in America, because it is broken. If you participate in it, you very quickly will come to understand that there are so many things about it that are not leading to better health. What I believe, and many others of us agree, is that our churches and the broader faith community is a great sleeping giant, that if we could fully be engaged in what we are called to do, then it is transformative. You know, what most people don't understand is that if we look just at this country, prior to the Civil War, if you were sick, the most likely person anybody would have seen for health care was actually a pastor. Pastors provided virtually all the health care in this country. One quick example, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, actually thought of himself as a physician. He practiced medicine from the day he was 19 until he died. He wrote a book called Primitive Physic, which is a self-help healthcare manual, which was so successful on the American frontier as late as 1850. If you were in the American frontier in 1850, there would have been a greater chance you would have had a copy of Wesley's book, Primitive Physic, than you would your own copy of the Bible. You know, Wesley believed that every Methodist society and indeed every church should be involved in direct, hands-on health care. Somewhere along the way, we got off track there. The book talks a little bit about how we got off track. But what I believe the time has come is for us to get refocused. Because if you are not engaged in the healing ministry and you're trying to take your faith seriously, you're ignoring a third of the gospel.
So I've heard you say a couple of times, hands on. So what does that look like in the life of me, just an average person?
So first off, being healthy is not about the absence of disease. The World Health Organization would agree with that. You know, who cares if you live 2 years longer, if it means 2 years longer in a nursing home? Life for life's sake can't possibly be the point. Breathing in, breathing out, none of us are signing up for that. So what we would argue it means is ultimately three things: having more joy in your life, having more love in your life, and being driven closer to God. So if those things aren't happening, then what is the point? But if this is what it takes to be healthy, more joy, more love, and being driven closer to God, it doesn't have a lot to do with the doctor, which led us to create something we call the model for healthy living. So we will argue there are seven things in life that are equally important to life that must be in balance if you're going to be healthy. Now, one of them is medical care, but only one. Nutrition, your mother told you you are what you eat. She was right. Movement, our bodies were made to move. Emotions, family and friends. Work, we define work as those things that bring meaning to your life. And lastly, your faith life. Your faith life is actually as important as anything the doctor would do if you're going to be healthy. Those seven things must be in balance. And you ask the question, what does it mean to you? Is to start with it, you have to ask your own question in your own life. Is what I'm doing bringing about more joy, more love, and driving you closer to God? If that's not happening, then you need to quit and go do something else. But our model for healthy living becomes a way that each of us can actually build a healthier life. And as people of faith, we find a way to get engaged with that beyond just expecting the doctor to give us pills.
Preach it, brother. Preach it. Oh, my gosh. Well, and because this is called the Kindness Podcast, like, I obviously believe very deeply in the power of kindness. And it sounds to me like what you're saying is when we ask ourselves, is what I'm doing driving me closer to God? Is it bringing joy? Is it doing those things? And if it's not, stop doing it. I mean, that to me is about kindness, because if you're out there and you're doing, if you're being kind to others intentionally and you're showing kindness toward yourself, you will find that joy. Right.
Yeah, I do think that's right. Totally. Yeah.
More from Dr. Scott Morris in just a second. But first, a word from our sponsor, United Faith Mortgage.
Salty.
Yep.
Salty's my husband, by the way. For those of you who have not been paying attention, his name is Saul. We call him Salty.
Pay attention.
Pay attention. No kidding. Hey, do you want to hear about like the direct lender advantage? Do you want to hear about faith and family? Do you want to hear about a smaller family run team?
Tell you what, you pick it out. All those sound riveting.
They really do.
Yeah.
How about small family run team? Because your dad owned a hardware store once.
He absolutely did.
Yep. It was a small family run store. And you know, because you had jobs there, didn't you?
I was very, very average at my job.
Which was what?
Outdoor maintenance supervisor is what I called myself.
Which means you help people load like cans of paint into their trucks,
right? I mostly just tried to hide back behind the insulation.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love United Faith Mortgage. Number one, because they're huge fans of kindness. And number two, because they are a smaller family-run team, which allows them to give personal one-on-one limo service type care, which is certainly what you provided, yes?
I was voted one of the most helpful employees ever.
You were one of the only employees ever. Yeah, true. All right. Yeah. So United Faith Mortgage is just a couple dozen team members. Many are family, and it's run by a father and son, John and Ryan, and John's wife, Denise, or sister-in-law, Barbara, answer almost every call. So it's like, you know, you could call them. You could be like, hey, I heard about you on the Kindness Podcast when I was listening to Salty talk about his dad's hardware store. And, you know, it'll totally confuse him, but it'll be awesome. United Faith Mortgage. That's who you want to call.
And now back to Dr. Scott Morris. So do you have specific stories and things like that that people can relate to to say, oh, I could do that. Sure. Like, yes, I think I could help with that in that way.
Well, again, so within the book called Care, there are lots of stories, and there is actually at some points a workbook where you can actually work your way through this for in your own life. But, you know, I'll tell you, you know, I've spent most of my life, you know, playing doctor. I see patients, you know, virtually every day. One of the great privileges that I have in taking care of poor people, which is what I do in Memphis, Tennessee, I encounter people who truly have nothing. You know, oftentimes this is older African-American women who I will walk in and ask them, how are you doing? And the answer I invariably get is that I am fine and blessed. Really, you are fine and blessed. You have nothing. You know, if the way we value people in America is based on your capital, they have no capital, except for what they have is an abundance of spiritual capital. So the privilege I have is, number one, helping take care of their physical health as best I can. But then I get to spend the rest of my encounter with them. And this is the point I would ask everybody to figure out how they can do, is I then get to sit down and ask myself, how do I get to be fine and blessed? What do you know about life that I need to know? You know, it's not just me as the physician imparting my great wisdom on them, but in order to live a healthy life, it requires both of us, all of us, to try to move forward down this path in a way that, in my mind, drives us closer to God.
Wow. I just want to sit with that for a second, because what I heard you say is that you are asking that question, how do I get this way? You are giving that other person the power back. You're giving, I had somebody tell me once, like, you know, I don't pity people, because when you pity people, you take away their power and you are telling them you're powerless. And so instead, the idea was to encourage people and remind people that they are powerful. Well, that's hard to do sometimes, especially when we come in as the expert and say, oh, you know, here's what you need to do. And just in those moments of you saying, how can I be blessed? And you're giving them back. What sorts of advice have they given you throughout the years?
You know, it's not so much they give me advice, it's that they show me how you actually live into understanding that God's love is all around us and that it's powerful. It's not that they are telling me anything. It's that they are actually, you know, showing me by example what kindness actually looks like. You know, it's not an intellectual discussion around kindness. It's experiential coming together to see what kindness actually is, how it's exhibited in the world we share together.
And how have you seen it exhibited in this world we share together?
So again, you'd have to come to Memphis, and I would invite anybody to come to Memphis just from my own personal experience here at Church Health, what we do. But you know, there's not a day goes by that the privilege of caring for people who oftentimes have nothing, that I don't see what is possible in God's imagination. We at Church Health, I mean, we have, you know, 80,000 people out there who depend on us for their health care. But the only way Church Health works, and it's not just Church Health in Memphis. I mean, we are the, you know, sort of the prototype in some ways of what a clinic like this looks like. But, you know, in this book, I talk about how clinics like this exist all over the country, and yet they go unnoticed. Almost wherever anybody is, there, this type of work is happening. You know, I begin the book by talking about this amazing clinic in Cactus, Texas, which is in the middle of the panhandle. You, I'm sure, never heard of Cactus, but, you know, under the umbrella of the Church of the Nazarene, they've created a clinic taking care of literally refugees from all over the country, all over the world, and helping to create a community there where people lift each other up. you know, it's truly a wonder to behold. And this is happening wherever we are, in the midst of a time in America where, you know, hatred and anger seems to permeate everything we do. You know, by addressing these issues of health, I think it leads us, you know, back to a path which is where God ultimately intends us to be, a path of wholeness, of being healed, of being well, and it leads us away from all the vitriol.
Scott, can you touch on the nuts and bolts of what it means to be a part of church health, or whether that's, you know, the model that you've set up for other places? I mean, are your doctors working for less money? Do people pay anything? What does that look like?
Yeah, so we're a real doctor's office. I mean, we have 20 doctors on our staff. This is what we do. We also run a family medicine residency, training young doctors in the church health way. We then, though, have 1,000 physicians who volunteer with us. That's not a made-up number. You know, so I'm a family practitioner, but if I need a cardiologist, an orthopedist, we have doctors who will volunteer to do that surgery for free for us. And we have an arrangement with the hospitals that as long as the physician donates his or her time, we can admit people there free of charge. It's what people sometimes refer to as church health magic, only it's not actually magic. It is engaging doctors to do what they were went into medicine for in the first place, to help people and not have to worry about how am I going to get paid for this. So there's that component of it. But then we have a dental clinic, an eye clinic. We are very engaged in issues of food. You know, food is medicine. We should all think of food that way. And there's good medicine and there's bad medicine, and how you think of food can drive folks in that way. We operate in a building that's larger than the Empire State Building, if you can believe that. It's a former Sears distribution center. So, you know, the prototype in Memphis is powerful to see, but similar clinics are all over the country. That's really the point of this book, is to demonstrate that this is actually not just a dream, but is occurring around the country in virtually every city. And I'm hoping people will learn more about it, and that our churches will rise up and say, you know, this is a way for us to become faithful to what the gospel clearly expects of us.
Mm-hmm. So I love to leave people with a kindness tip in each podcast. Do you have a kindness tip for us, something that we can put into action today?
You know, my point about learning how to be fine and blessed would be my kindness tip here, because that doesn't just magically happen. You have to set out to sort of say, what does it even mean to be blessed? What does the experience of being blessed look like? I have an elderly woman who actually has died now, but her name was Aura Alexander. And when I first saw her, I was treating her high blood pressure and diabetes. And then she finally says to me, "Would you like a blessing?" And I go, "Sure." And before I know it, she stands up. She has her hands on my head. I am no longer in control. And then she offers a blessing for me, but then she asked me to set my hands out, and she makes the sign of the cross on my hands. And she tells me she's done that because she knows that for the rest of the day, I will be touching people just like her. And she wanted me to be able to pass that blessing on. So that my kindness tip is to find a way where you can be passing those blessings on in your life, and it not just be, how does it all come to you?
Love it. Thank you. Thank you so much, the good doctor, Scott Morris. I appreciate you. The book is called Care, How People of Faith Can Respond to Our Broken Health System. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
All right, Nicole. Well, I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks very much.
Take care.
Bye.
Once again, thanks to Dr. Scott Morris from Church Health. You can connect with Church Health at churchhealth.com.
kindnesspodcast.org. I'm Nicole Phillips. This episode of the Kindness Podcast is a product of Northwestern Media, a ministry of University of Northwestern St. Paul. Do you know someone who could use a little extra kindness in their life? Let them know about the Kindness Podcast. Like and subscribe at Apple and Spotify. And check out my books and blog on the socials at Nicole J. Phillips. I hope your day is filled with kindness. Once again, many thanks to our sponsor, United Faith Mortgage. United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York, licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org, corporate NMLS number 1330, equal housing lender, not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.